All right, Brother Zelos is going to bring us an offering today. What's it called, Brother Zelos?
I'm going to call this and kind of the entire study, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James says, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to go and I want to read some scripture from Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So, I'm just going to frame this loosely, that we have in this section of scripture, I would say, three umbrellas under which pretty much every time the tempter is going to come to us to tempt us or to persecute us or to try us in some way, it is generally, there might be some, we can talk about it later, but generally everything is going to fall under one of these three umbrellas, so to speak. And how the pattern that we also have from the Lord himself on how we resist the devil, that he flee from us, which we must do because he walks about as a roaring lion seeking we may devour. So before I start again, in Matthew 3, like the last verse in Matthew 3, right before it says Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, Jesus was baptized, and the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then if we notice, every single time, except for the last time, the first two times when the tempter came to him, he said, Oh, if thou be the Son of God. He's kind of the same thing he did with Eve right in the beginning. He always tries to cast doubt on what God's word has said. So this is what the saints need to guard on first. If somebody comes, or a voice, or Satan, or anybody, or anything, tries to tempt you by saying, Oh, does God's word really say that? Hath God really said, you know, are you really what God said you are? Is things really the way, you know, are you, if you be the Son of God? He does the same thing. He casts doubt. And then the first thing he did was he came and he tempted Jesus, the Lord, in what we could call the umbrella of the flesh. So Jesus had fasted and he was hungry, and so the devil came and he tried tempting him. First by casting doubt on God's word, and then by basically trying to satisfy his flesh. I mean, there's nothing wrong about eating if you're hungry, but Satan was trying to tempt him in a way that, if we look at that, you know, if you're the Son of God, why don't you make these stones bread? I mean, you're hungry, you can eat, right? And you can also prove yourself that you actually are, that God, like, if are you really God's Son? So it's a casting doubt. But how did Jesus respond and resist the devil? He didn't basically stand there and try to reason with him. He didn't try any sort of argument. He didn't try to get in his head and do anything. He just said, it is written. And then he quoted what God's word actually said and what he stood on. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we resist our flesh. The Satan and the flesh might want to rise up, and it might want, he might tempt our flesh with something. But the way we resist the devil then is, first of all, to take the doubt that he casts on God's word, that it actually means what it says, and we toss it in the garbage where it belongs and put it in its proper place. It's of Satan. And then we go and we say, no, this is what scripture says. Satan might tempt our flesh with lust, but we go to God's word and we read that lust is not of God, and you shall not covet, and that it's adultery, and God will judge that, and we're to be pure in heart and pure in mind. And we go to God's word and we base our faith and our trust on that, and we resist him, not based on our own strength in our flesh, but we go to God's word and we resist it with God's word. The next thing the devil took is he took him on the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him again, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So this would be the tempter basically coming and trying to use religion, false religion, misquoting and twisting scripture, false doctrine, like that would all fall under this umbrella generally. Satan can quote scripture. He twists it. He doesn't do it to your own good. He doesn't do it the way God, but he could probably quote it inside and out. And this is the other temptation. It's false religion, man-made religion. The entire religious systems of the world are made by Satan, because God only started one in his truth. And again, Jesus gives us the pattern for how we resist that. How do we resist false religion? How do we resist heresy? How do we resist false doctrine? How do we resist all of these thousands of confusing religions and scripture twist things to the point where sometimes it makes your head spin when people do it? Jesus again gave us the pattern. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, we don't try to resist false religion with a bunch of nice sounding, eloquent, fleshly arguments. We don't try to resist scripture twisting by using a bunch of fleshly logic or any of that stuff. No, we use the sword of God's word, and we stand on that and we resist it. No, this is what God's word says, done. We don't argue about God's word, whether or not it is true or valid. We believe it, we trust in it, and we testify to it that it is true. We don't argue with people about whether or not it is truth. We testify to it that it is truth, because that's what we believe. And then the last one again, the devil took him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says, if you will, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So this would basically be the entire, he could use our flesh, and then he can use religious systems and things like that. And then the last thing that I think most things would fall under this umbrella, he uses the world, his kingdom, his culture. Satan's the god of this world, the culture, everything, entertainment, be it what it be. He basically uses riches, the love of money, and he tempts us with that, but it's at a cost. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can serve either God or mammon, you can't serve both. The love of money is the root of all evil. We're to follow after his kingdom and not the kingdom of this world, which will be judged and destroyed. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. But Satan uses the kingdoms and the glory of this world and basically his corrupted, perverted culture and his kingdom to tempt the saints, and there's a lot of things that would fall under that umbrella. And once again, Jesus gave us the pattern for how we resist that. But this time it's kind of ratcheted up a bit. Did you notice that? So when it comes to the flesh, we resist using God's word. When it comes to false religion, we fight using God's word. When it comes to the Satan's kingdom and the saints compromising and giving glory to Satan and giving their life and their service to him, I mean, worship does not just mean falling down before some. It's what you serve, it's what you give yourself up to, it's what you worship basically with your life and what you dedicate yourself to. When Satan wants to tempt the saints with that, the saints should basically tell him to get lost, as a paraphrase. Get thee hence, Satan. Go away. No, I worship God and I worship him only. And again, he quoted scripture. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The way we resist the world and the culture and Satan's attack with his kingdom on us is we basically tell him, no way, we stand for Christ, we're born, we're bought with a price, we stand on God's word, we worship God and him only, and we do not compromise. And the pattern, I'm sure we could probably go into more specifics, but in general, when the scriptures tell us to resist the devil, this is the best example we have of how to resist the devil so he flees from us. And every single time, Jesus didn't go into the flesh. He didn't do it of his own volition or his own strength. I mean, he could if he was God. He was the Word. But he gave us this example of it is written. We need to know God's Word. We need to know how to rightly divide it. We need to know what it actually says in context, and we need to live it so that we can use it as the living sword to defend ourselves and resist the devil, and through that, he will flee from us. I think this is also kind of a picture of the armor of God and how we use the sword of the Spirit. We're told to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and here we have an example of how to use it. We wield it by saying, this is what Scripture says. It is written. We stand on this. We use Scripture as our defense in all things. And not only does that work against Satan, it also works against his workers, by the way. What thoughts do you brothers have on this?
Amen, amen. Thanks, that was a blessing. Hey, do me a favor, recap for us the 3 points that you made. Can kind of frame it for us.
So, generally, I think pretty much all of the temptations that Satan's going to throw at us would be, it'll either be in the flesh. I mean, some things might be lawful in the flesh, like eating, but gluttony might be. Drinking a little bit of wine might not be sinful, but drunkenness might be. What a man and a wife do when they're intimate is lawful, but fornication is not. So he would tempt us in the flesh, and we need to resist with his word. The second umbrella would be false religion. The false religions and the spirit, spirituality, mysticism, scripture twisting, I think it all kind of falls under the umbrella of what we could call false religion. And then the third would be the world and his culture, the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. And either way, we need to resist it using God's word.
Yeah, amen, amen. Yeah, well done. What Satan quoted in that second umbrella I think you were talking about was Psalm 91, and it is 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, for they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. See how Satan kind of, he quoted scripture, well, he didn't quote it. He was using scripture, but he twisted it, didn't he?
Yeah, he twists it. He took it completely out of context because he was not, he took Jesus to some place and asked him to put him into danger to tempt God.
Yeah.
But here, I got scripture, kind of like what all the false religions do. Yeah, we got all these false doctrines, but hey, we got a proof text here.
Yeah. Like today at our preach, we saw a guy in a little trailer and it said, are you going to heaven? Answer 2 questions. So I was preaching and he was like yelling out at me, not negatively, but he was like, amen, amen. He was yelling. So I said, I got to come talk to this guy. So I went to talk to him. He asked 2 questions and I can't even remember what they were. He had like a little clipboard. You fill out a little board. And the 2 questions were, do you think you're going to heaven or hell? That was 1 question. And then the other one was, how do you get to heaven if you want to go to heaven? And he had like multiple answers. Ultimately, he told people, here's how you go to heaven. Romans 10, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And then I said, well, that's not the complete gospel. And he got very upset. He was handing out some Ray Comfort tracks and handing out Chick tracks. And I just kind of lovingly rebuked him and said, you're teaching a false doctrine, but it's exactly what you're talking about. Satan and the false religious systems that he's helped design, they take God's word out of context, they twist it, and they offer people a tiny little tidbit of it when God says we're to feast on it and live by it, by every word out of the mouth of God. And they live by 1 scripture verse, don't they?
Yeah.
I asked this man, I said, did you tell everybody to go read the whole book of Romans? The whole book of Romans calls you to lose your life, to sacrifice, to repent, to walk in holiness, to no longer serve sin, but to serve righteousness. He's like, well, I see your point. I'm like, you're not helping people by giving them 1 easy-believe verse and leaving everything else out. And then that is exactly what Satan does, because it blurs the line of what God's word really says. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Cool, Brother Pergos, what say you about what Brother Zelos brought, resisting the devil?
I want to add that the devil likes to come as an angel of light. You see, he wasn't using his own words. He was using the word of God to deceive people. And the thing that came to mind for me was Luke 21:8. And he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." So Satan will come, like we see with all these churchianity people. They have all sorts of Christs they have in their mind, like this Jesus, I can get to heaven once saved, always saved. I don't got to do anything. This Jesus wants me to do something, but he doesn't want me to do everything. Like, they have all sorts of ideas of Christ. And where did this come from? It came from Satan twisting the word and taking the word of God and just altering it a little bit. And that's how we get the 14,000 different denominations. So,
yeah, I think you mean 40,000.
40,000, yeah.
40,000, yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Do they not make the word to no effect?
Well, not only do they make the word of none effect, but by misquoting it, and this is a big one, misapplying it, they actually would ask you to, they actually put you in a position of harm in where you would sin against God if you would obey them.
Say that again.
They don't not only misquote it, they misapply it in such a way that if you would actually do what they ask you to do, you would be in transgression against God's law by doing what they said, because they still use God's word, but they misquote it, take it out of context, and misapply it.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they would ask you to do something which would actually be a transgression.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's so true. Satan is a master deceiver. He is an angel of light. He's joined religion. He's made a different flavor. Paul warned us about it. They'll not endure sound doctrine. We see it every day we go in the streets. People could care less about sound doctrine. And Satan's having a field day, just like he did in Matthew 4, trying to, over our Lord, to make the word of God of no effect, to twist it, to abrogate it, to change it, right?
Yeah.
Brother Pergos, what say you?
I really appreciated that, Brother Zelos. Very timely, as always. Especially one thing came to mind, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. If you give him a hangnail, he'll have your entire body in about half a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. So how do we do that using what Brother Zelos has talked about here? How do we do that? Not give him a place.
We're continually on guard.
Yep.
We never let up on anything.
Yep. Stay on guard. Use the word of God as our sword, right? That's our great weapon against the world, false religion, Satan, right? As our master did.
Mm-hmm.
Avoiding every false way, which would be the false religious systems. That's why we separate ourselves from them. Because what they do? They just bring leaven into your life, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
A note to toss in there and what Brother Pergos brought up. You don't give the devil place you don't entertain anything he says. I think it's really important. This is a lesson. Look again at how the Lord dealt with the enemy. He didn't give him a place. He didn't, like, when he came basically tempting him in his flesh or tempting him with scripture or tempting him with the kingdoms and power of this world, he didn't entertain it for a second. He didn't try to reason with it or bargain with it or give it any space. He literally said, "No, it's written," and that's it. This is what God's word says, and that's it. And that's how we need to deal. Like, for example, you're dealing with a false religious system. Somebody who comes up, like, for example, we had Jehovah's Witnesses come to our door today. I think Sister handled it wonderful. You don't give them place to talk and to reason. You don't entertain them and their false heresy. You don't give them place. No, this is what God's word says. Forget it. No, this is what God's word says. No, forget it. This is what God's word says. You don't entertain it or give it place at all. You're not being rude. You're being bold and you're standing firm on God's word. When your flesh and Satan wants to tempt you with something, you don't entertain your flesh, not even for a second. No, this is what God's word says. Cut it off, pluck it out, rip it out, burn it. Cast it from you. When the world and the culture wants to tempt you or toss something your way and he does something like that, no, you don't entertain it, not for a second. The Lord didn't entertain Satan for a second. He immediately went to scripture and he stood on it and he resisted with him. Because you can't resist an enemy that you're entertaining, can you?
No. Yeah, that's a great point. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Doesn't say abstain from evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So as Brother Zello said, anybody comes twisting the word of God, promoting false religion, promoting sin, promoting false doctrine, you abstain from it. You avoid it. You rebuke it. You send it away. You put it away. You don't give any standing, any ground, any room for anything like that in your life. You rebuke it. You call it out. You shine the light on it. And when that happens, if you stand strong in the word, these workers of Satan, they will flee because they can't stand. They can't stand in the truth of God. The light is too powerful. They will end up fleeing. So yeah, don't give them ground in any way. Whether it's in your thought life, whether it's at your front door, whether it's you're out in the street witnessing, don't give them any ground. Hold that shield and that armor up in place. And you can withstand all the fiery darts of Satan and all of his workers, like the modern pastors that are all over the place. And all the people that support the modern pastors and the priests. We met plenty of them today. People defending their false religion, but they can't do it in the Word of God. They can only do it tongue-in-cheek. Don't let them do it. Don't give them any standing. Don't give them any ground.
I have a great verse that goes along perfectly with this in Matthew 16. Just a few verses before what I'm going to read, Jesus says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Just a few verses later, then Peter took him, in verse 22, and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So the Lord gave no place to that. He didn't say, "Well, you know, Peter, I just don't think you really understand what's going on here. Let's sit down and talk about this." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Yeah.
So that's exactly what you're supposed to do when anything's coming up against the will of God, the word of God, what it says directly in the scriptures, you say, "Get behind me, Satan." If anything comes up that's counter to it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because we're all striving for Christ. Christ is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Word is the truth. The truth sets us free. Goodness, righteousness, these are all fruits of the Holy Spirit and truth. And so, how can we give ground for any false way in our lives if we're honoring God and the truth and Christ is the truth? Psalm 119:104 is one of my favorite verses. I hate every false way. And I always contend, until you hate every false way, I don't think you really love the truth the way you should. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen.
I have two scripture verses to read. Romans 16:17 and 18. We all know this verse. We use it all the time. But this is what it's driving it home here. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to doctrine," that's instructions, from which you have learned, and avoid them. It's pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward. People teach false doctrine. Avoid them. It doesn't say entertain them. It doesn't say eat lunch with them. It doesn't say sing and pray with them. It doesn't say be nice to them and hang out with them. It says avoid them. 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech they deceive the hearts of the simple. So look what happens if you hang out with these people. They're going to deceive your heart. They're going to deceive your walk. They're going to stumble you. Bad company corrupts, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And then the other verse I wanted to read, talking about truth. I love this verse. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So if we buy the truth and we sell it not, we live on the truth. We can never give ground for any false way, can we, brothers?
No.
Amen.
To compromise on sound doctrine is to compromise on the very word of God itself, which is Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, you're compromising Christ because he is the truth.
Yeah.
And people don't take truth serious enough. They really don't. Satan's got a foothold in and has demeaned the truth so that people aren't seeking it. They don't crave it. They don't buy it and sell it not. They don't look at the pearl of great price. And he's really accomplished his goal in the culture to bring truth down to where it doesn't even really matter anymore. That's why everybody's gone their own way. It reminds me of like in Israel when it says that when there is no king, everyone does what's right in their own sight. Well, when Christ isn't your king and the truth isn't your rule, everyone does what they do, what they want to do, don't they?
Yeah.
That's what we see going on.
Kind of like the book of Judges where every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time of lawlessness and no.
Amen.
Not of God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that was an awesome offering. Anything else, brothers, on resisting the devil and what Brother Zelos brought?
Just one little thing, if I can have a second. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. Or if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Basically, and also Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Basically, I want to add the point of, if you're walking in the light, your sin is fully forgiven. But Satan will still try to accuse you of it, as if it's not forgiven.
Amen.
That's another way I think he tries to, even when you're walking in the truth, he'll say, God couldn't really forgive you of that sin.
Yeah. He gets you to doubt God's word and God's promises, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And remember, Brother Purgos, you and I have talked in the past, and I think I did a teaching on it, the difference between condemnation and conviction. Remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So the Holy Spirit convicts and guides you to the truth and calls you home. Condemnation is there to destroy you with no way out and make you feel hopeless. But the Holy Spirit always says this way. Repent. Turn to the Father. Turn to the light. Turn to the Word. There's hope. Condemnation says you're a loser. You got no hope. So learn to know the difference, brothers, sisters, between condemnation of the enemy and could be false teachers and our enemies around us, Satan the enemy and enemies around us, and conviction of the Holy Spirit that's guiding us to all truth.
Yeah. Amen. It's like, That's he always starts with that, Brother Purgos. He always starts with casting doubt on God's word. He did that with Eve. He did that with the Lord himself. You know, I mean, God himself, the voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What does Satan do immediately afterwards? "If you really are the Son of God." You know, God tells Adam and Eve, "Don't eat of this." Yay, hath God really said? He always does that. God says, "If you repent, I'll forgive you." Satan says, "You mean God's really forgiven you?" It's like he does that. That's his first avenue of attack all the time.
Yeah, and you know what? What do we see all the time with the modern pastors and the churchgoers that we war against? Oh, does the Bible say we can't do pagan holidays? Does the Bible say you have to come out of the world? The Bible doesn't say I can't watch covetous, violent, carnal, rowdy sports. They're always challenging the truth of God's word, just like their father, Satan. And today, as we were leaving the festival, I was preaching as people were all sitting there, and I said, if you can't hear these words of truth, Jesus said, Satan is your father. That means you're a child of Satan. People are looking at me. I'm like, that's what Jesus said. Go read John 8. If the words of God's truth are not finding residence in your heart and you're not obeying it, you are following Satan, your father. And they were just kind of staring at me, but that's exactly what's going on. And we see it all the time, constantly challenging the father's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And we stand against that. If we don't, who's going to stand for it? I love it what Jude says. Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. That's our charge, brothers and sisters. Keep contending for the faith till he comes back for us. Anything else? Anything else on this, brothers?
Just this one more thought. Withstand and then stand.
I love that. That's in Ephesians 6, isn't it?
Yep, just before he tells us to put on the armor of God. That's what we're to do when we resist the devil. We withstand him, he flees, and then we stand, brothers. Don't let your guard down, stand.
Don't let your guard down, and don't turn and retreat. The armor of God is mostly forward-facing. Stand towards the light, towards the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Good stuff, brothers Ellis. Thank you.